Hey, this is Jim, and a quick note here. I want to tell you about what you're going to hear with this episode. So, here's the backstory. A few weeks ago, I was planning a big vacation. I was going to be out of the country for some period of time, and so in anticipation of that, we reached out to some listeners to see if they would put together some guest episodes for us to, you know, fill in that week. Well, the big vacation got canceled for obvious reasons, and so those episodes had just kind of been sitting on my hard drive, waiting for an opportunity to be heard. Then last week, we learned that it was Stevie Wonder's 70th birthday, and hey, we have this great episode that Mike Wagner and Nick Scalera recorded for us about Stevie Wonder. Perfect timing. So, next available opportunity to get that in is today, and so that's what you're going to hear. Let's press play now.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we talk about a wonderful run of albums. Hi, this is Mike Wagner, and this is Rockin' the Suburbs. And today I'm joined by Mr. Nicholas Scalera. Hey, Nick.
Hey, everyone. Great to be here, Mike. Great to talk to you again about a topic that I hope our listeners will find quite interesting.
Yeah, so the idea we had was maybe we can start, some other folks can follow up on this. Today's topic is we're talking about great album runs, and everyone has sort of their favorites. The one we're focused on today is Stevie Wonder. We are going to focus on his mid-70s, which is sort of considered his classic era. And the run of albums we're going to talk about is Talking Book, Inner Visions, Fulfilling This First Finale, and amazingly, after all that, he wrote Songs in the Key of Life, which is a double album, and there was like an additional EP. I'm not real sure how that worked out.
Yeah, 21 songs, hour 45.
Amazing. So we thought that would be, and a lot of times when Nick and I talk, we talk about history and, you know, and I'm always kind of like, well, they used the flux capacitor compressor on this one, blah, blah, blah. And so we're not going to do that today. Today is about looking at the music and like how great these albums are and what a run this was. And everyone has their favorite, and so maybe you can post it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. What we're going to do is we're going to go through each of the album, and we're each going to pick, we're going to talk about the hits from the album, and then we're going to talk about the lesser known songs from the album, and then we'll play snippets so everyone can kind of hear what we're talking about. How's that sound to you, Nick?
That sounds great, Mike. Looking forward to it.
First album we're going to talk about is Talking Book, which was released in 1972. And it has the monster hit, Superstition. What do you think about that song, Nick?
Wow. I mean, I never get tired of that. I wasn't tired of that when I was 5 years old and it came out, which dates me. It's just such a phenomenal song.
Hey, stop that. I'm older than that.
Right. I really do remember as a young kid hearing this. This song was everywhere. And in fact, Stevie made a fairly famous appearance on Sesame Street, where he performed this song in right on Sesame Street in front of a bunch of kids dancing around. And it's a full on performance. No, like, you know, kind of changing it or making a kid like. It's just like, I'm just going to rock out Superstition. He added a couple of Sesame Street references into the end of the song, but it's fantastic. And, you know, to me, one of the things that really stands out about Superstition and just this sort of whole run of albums is just how Stevie incorporated technology into sort of, you know, obviously he was a genius with R&B and funk and blues, and then he uses the technology to just kick it up into this place that where it had never been before.
It's just fantastic.
I know that initial run on, which I guess, you know, Mike said we weren't going to get too much into the nuts and bolts, but I do have to mention this, you know, that opening keyboard run is a Hohner clavinet. You familiar with that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, which is this instrument, this odd instrument that was made in Germany in the late 60s and was intended to be an electronic version of a clavichord, a classical music instrument. And Stevie saw the potential in this thing to just take, just funk up this song. It's unbelievable.
Just one quick story. Jeff Beck is the one who came up with the drum beat. He was in the studio. Jeff Beck did the little drum beat. And then Stevie went to the clavichord and clavinet, I'm sorry, and did that thing. And it's awesome. It's just great. I never get tired of that. And Stevie as a drummer is way, 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 way underrated. He's a great drummer. And I will fight anybody who wants to go on that.
I love it. I agree 100% with that, Mike. And I feel like the drumming does it feel like it's just kind of slightly behind the beat?
There's a way he does it. It's kind of like, it almost feels like he's going to like lose it all at one point, right. But it sticks together. I just love the way he drums. I just love it. Anyway.
Agree. And okay. And just as a point of reference for anyone who's out there who doesn't know, I mean, this was a period when Stevie was playing all the instruments. I mean, there are, on some of this album run, he would bring in other musicians, but there are several songs throughout this 4-album run where Stevie is doing everything. Every note is played by Stevie.
We can't spend the whole episode on this one song, but we probably next could time. If we wanted to. So the other big hit on the album, I'll let you take that one, Nick. You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
Oh, yes.
Was the other big hit. One of my favorite Stevie songs, but a great song nonetheless, right?
I mean, this is the thing. This is sort of what I attempted to do when we were talking, Mike and I were talking about this, is to listen to this song with new ears and kind of pull it away from the fact that it was a mega hit and it does kind of feel like easy listening a little bit. And it's a sweet song. But, you know, it's very subtle, and the keyboards in it are just, again, the keyboard sound is just so, it's just so mellow and smooth. And, you know, you just have to, it's interesting because I read a little bit about what was behind this song, and, you know, I guess it is, his marriage was to Syreeta Wright was kind of breaking up around this time, and the song is dedicated to her, and it's sort of like either this was pre-breakup or this is the most adult breakup ever. It's like, you know, like, you know, we're not married anymore, but you know, you're still, you know, so meaningful to me. I find that really fascinating, that whole aspect of it. But you know, it's good to sort of pull the baggage out and just listen to the genius behind that song to write a pop hit like that.
I mean, it's in the second we said the song is in your mind, so everybody knows it, which is something to say right there. So, okay, got to keep this going. I'm going to be here all day. So the first non-hit I would like to talk about is I Believe, which is the last song on the album, and is famous, actually, not famous, but it actually closes out the movie High Fidelity, because I tell the joke about when the guy comes in, he's like, do you have, I just called to say I love you. He goes, no, go to the mall. I love I Believe, and just the sound of it and the opening is just great, so just have a quick listen to that.
Shattered dreams, worthless years. Here am I encased inside a hollow shell. Life began, then was done. Now I stare into a cold and empty. The many sounds that meet our ears, the sights our eyes behold, will open up our merging hearts and feed our empty souls. I believe when I fall in love with you, it will be forever. I believe when I fall in love, the sky.
And so, Nick, what would you pick for, like, for everybody to listen to that's kind of a non-hit off the album that maybe folks don't know?
Yeah, I know. I think the one that I would sort of pick out is Big Brother. And Big Brother is a song that folks will find very relevant to today. I mean, Big Brother is a reference to, you know, the George Orwell 1984 Big Brother.
Right.
But Stevie is really sort of keying into something that I think people were getting, you know, in that whole early Nixon era, the whole sort of surveillance culture was really coming into play, and Stevie is sort of making it. And it's a great song, but, you know, as you see in this run of albums, you have Stevie just sort of digging into some really deep social commentary on the one hand, and, you know, on the other hand, there are these sweet hit songs, Sunshine right. of My Life type songs are there as well. And Stevie never loses that. And I think, actually, that kind of adds to the appeal that you can still just write a fabulous love song. But Big Brother is worth a listen. It's very highly relevant. And it won't be the last time we'll hear a relevant song from Stevie that he wrote in the early 70s that still really relates to what's going on today.
Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're watching me on the telly. See me go nowhere. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're tired of me protesting. Children dying every day. My name is nobody, but I can't wait to see your face inside my door. Oh.
So the next album was Intervisions, and the big hit off of this one, one of the big hits, was Living for the City.
In hot dime Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection.
direction to keep them strong. Moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city.
Yeah. As we were just talking about, you know, relevant societal things, still relevant, Living in the City, brilliant song, fantastic, one of my favorites, just ominous and sounds great. Any thoughts on that one, Nick?
I mean, this is an amazing song. It's almost like a novel, you know, that there's a story, exactly. A throughput storyline here.
Well put, yeah.
And there are characters that are sort of, you know, trying to survive in an environment where, you know, someone comes to the big city, and it's an indictment of our, you know, of police brutality, which is something we still deal with today. It's an indictment of racism. And it's also, you know, keys into just the fact that, like, you know, people exploit each other, you know,
yep.
In a situation where there's not a lot of economic opportunity. And so, I mean, there's so much packed into this song, and it sounds so amazing. To this day,
it sounds amazing. It just still sounds great.
It does.
And his singing. All the way through this whole period, his singing is off the charts. Wow. Great.
And what it's phenomenal. And what you really get in Living for the City, where that you don't hear a lot of other places from Stevie, who has a very sweet melodic voice. I mean, he's angry. He is very angry in this song, and yeah. You can hear it. And I think it took a lot of, like, he really had to pull that out of the depth of his soul, that sort of level of anger, and infuse it into the song. And it's just sort of, it's an essential part of it. I mean, there's plenty going on in the music. There's plenty of effects and, again, synthesizer sounds that are really remarkable for that era. But the vocal here really, really carries the story.
I agree. Absolutely. Well put. What would you pick as a hit off there?
Well, I mean, in terms of a quote unquote hit, you do have... many songs that people recognize. Higher Ground, obviously, is a one,
right.
People have heard. And then you kind of have, right. You have Golden Lady, and Golden Lady is another one of those kind of sweet songs, love song kind of things. And it sounds great, and it's well done, but it's a very different vibe from the rest of the album.
So far, 'cause I'm not afraid to try and go it, to know the love and beauty never known before. I'll leave it up to you to show it. And golden lady, golden lady, I'd like to go there.
It just sounds so good. It's so good. It sounds like the 70s, but not dated.
I think you're right. And I think it's another one that I had to kind of take another listen to and just kind of explore it on the merits of the inventiveness of the sounds that are put into that song. But it is, you know, it's sort of like it's in between Living for the City and Higher Ground. And it's sort right. of like, you know, Stevie, he would put these albums together, and it is really a concept album, but there is... to a certain extent, I think it's a concept album, but there's also this kind of peaks and valleys where it's like you've got these like high energy songs and these, you know, really biting social commentary, and then this kind of Golden Lady, you know, another statement, love statement there, but it's just so well done. And it adds to variety. I mean, you never get bored with one of these albums because you're literally getting like, you know, 12 different things thrown at you.
And the other thing, there's not just a collection of great songs. It's like they're sequenced well and they flow well. And when you put them on, you feel like you get a whole experience. That's what I think, you know. The non-hit that I would point listeners to is a song called All Is Fair in Love.
When all is put away, the losing side I play, but all is fair in love. I should have never left your side. A writer takes his pen to write the words again that all in love is fair. A writer takes his pen.
I just think it's a great song. And a really heartfelt vocal and another amazing performance by Stevie. Okay, so for you, Nick, what would be a non-hit song off Inner Visions for you?
Yeah, so one last one I wanted to talk about was He's Mr. Know-It-All, which is yet another indictment of the Nixon presidency. And I think it's a song that is phenomenal because it's kind of playful and it's very sarcastic, but it's also got the sort of message about you know, this just the sort of the Nixon vibe, like I know what I'm doing, you know, leave it to me, I'm in charge kind of thing. And Stevie's just like poking fun at that in a way that only he can.
He's a man with a plan, got a counterfeit dollar in his hand. He's Mr. Know-It-All, playing hard, talking fast, making sure that he won't be the last. He's Mr. Know-It-All, makes a deal with a smile, knowing all the time that his lies are mine. He's Mr. Know-It-All.
The next one is fulfilling this first finale. So it wasn't as big a hit as the other albums were, but I would say as an album, it's really, really cohesive. I mean, when I listen to it, I find it, of all four of these, I find it the most cohesive one and the one that everything seems to fit more than the others. That's just my opinion. And sort of the hit I would go with off this one is Boogie on Reggae Woman. Great sound. Great song.
I like to see you boogie right across the floor. I like to do till you holler for more. You dance too fast for me. I like to make love to you, so you can make me scream. Boogie on Reggae Woman, what is wrong with me? Boogie on Reggae Woman, baby, can you see?
Well, it's interesting. I just sort of like, first of all, on Reggae Women, fantastic song. I find it a lot more funky than reggae. I don't know what you think about that, Mike, but
it's not like a Master Jammin' on, right. which was on Hotter Than July, which is really fun. You know, that's really reggae-ish. Right. But it's, you're right. It's more funk than, well, Don't let me tell you, because like I don't have either one
right,
of them, but
right.
I love it.
Yeah, fantastic song overall. And in terms of just like, so, you know, I would definitely agree with you, Mike, on just this album really hanging together and having kind of a mellow mood to it. I have to admit, I had not listened to this in many years. I know it's part of this four album run that's great, but only recently did I kind of get back into it and spend some time with it. And it's it definitely has this it paints this sort of, you know, it has a palette that it paints with, and he doesn't kind of, it's not as jarring, the sort of song to song. The cuts between songs are really tight as well. They're sort of like very smooth transitions into songs. But I don't know if I had to pick one out. You Haven't Done Nothing is a fantastic song.
We are amazed but not amused by all the things you say that you do. Though much concerned but not involved with decisions that are made by you. But we are sick and tired of hearing the song.
I really had a hard time picking one that was kind of not a hit song, because there were so many that I love. I would probably select Please, it closes the album, Please Don't Go.
Please don't go.
So that was Please Don't Go. And go ahead, Nick, why don't you pick one that's kind of a non-hit song off of this one.
Why don't we try a little Creepin', see what we think of that one.
So moving on, the last in the run, which is probably his greatest album. So many great songs. Nick's going to start us off on his big hit first.
So my favorite big hit off this is I Wish. So let's hear that one and we'll chat about it. What a fantastic song. It's interesting because this is Stevie talking about his childhood, and I read up a little bit on this, and it's amazing to me, because you'd think, considering the circumstances Stevie grew up in and his blindness and everything, that maybe he had a rough and unhappy childhood. There was abuse in his family and everything. But actually, he was allowed to do a lot, and he was kind of a joker and a trickster, and he had a lot of fun times back in the neighborhood, and that's what he's recalling here, and I think that's just really, it's really poignant in that way.
How he pulls the magic out in every song is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the vocals just, I don't know how Stevie could scream in a song-like voice. Somehow he manages to do that.
Okay, so we're going to save my hit for the playout song, and I'm going to pick for my non-big hit song is I can't pronounce it. I don't even want to try. There's three phrases, and the last one, I guess it's I am singing in different languages. And there's this part in the middle where he sings it, and he takes his vocal to another level, and I'm going to cut in there. It's just, I just love this, and let's have a listen to it.
Came this melody, so I tried to put in words how I feel. Tomorrow will be for you and me.
Just wow. Okay, I got nothing else to say. That's awesome. Listen to this album. Okay, Nick, I'll let you pick your next hit. I'll let you pick a non-hit.
Well, the great thing about this album is there's 21 songs and there are a lot of deep cuts. The one I'm going to talk about, actually, and I was kind of debating this, there's so many, and the song it's very wide-ranging. It's very much like the White Album in that way. It's like every style. Stevie is just showing you that he can do everything. But the one I actually wanted to talk about is it's on the first side. It's called Contusion, actually.
Oh yeah, great jam.
Yeah, it's this crazy jam. He's got like Michael Sambello on guitars, and he's got like a bunch of, you know, kind of a hot band going with his song, and it's a little bit of a free form kind of it's a little bit noisy for Stevie. It's a little bit not as melodic as other things, but again, it just shows the range that he had. I think it's a really interesting piece, and it kind of falls right in between, you know, a couple of big hits as well in terms of the flow of that first side. So thought I'd pick that one out. It's definitely worth a listen and kind of focusing on. It's kind of one you might pass over or skip over as you were going through the first side, but I would argue against doing that.
Okay, that was great. I mean, I know we kind of rushed through them, but I think the main thing we wanted to show folks is that what an amazing, if you think about how much music that is, and there's other great album runs, but I think one of the things that's most miraculous of this one is like how much of it is just Stevie, right? I mean, there's other great album runs, and I can't think of anybody who had one that was basically solo, and not just solo, but played tons of the instruments. He didn't play all of them, but he played a lot, you know, a huge percentage of them, and just great.
It's kind of a singular achievement in the history of music, really, when you think about it. And I think what you hear in this run of albums that I just think is fantastic is, like, you know, Stevie often said that he would hear sounds in his head that he couldn't really necessarily replicate on the existing instruments, you know, the piano and the drums and everything. And you know, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but he really brings in technology. I mean, he had that like Tonto synthesizer thing that he was working with in the 70s. Yep. and the clavinet. Yep. And he just kind of, he talked about wanting to bend sounds and get kind of in between the notes. And I think that's to me was so amazing. I think he creates a lot of sounds that hadn't really been heard before in this run of albums. And it had a huge impact on like five or six different genres of music in this period. And I think it's really kind of untouchable as a four album run. I challenge any of our other listeners to come up with a better run. I know there are others out there, but this one is something else.
What a great run. And I hope you enjoyed it, fellow listeners. I know we enjoyed putting this together. We enjoyed listening to the albums, and Nick and I kind of had some back and forth beforehand, and you're talking about, man, it's so good. you sort of forget. And that's kind of the point. I think Nick said it well at the beginning. Some of these you kind of want to try to listen to with fresh ears, and it's amazing when you kind of go back and listen. So any closing thoughts, Nick, before we close out?
I think these four albums are just, it's like a gift to the world. And especially in the times we're living in, and the times they were created were tough times as well. But I found a lot of comfort in a lot of these songs as well. And there's a ton of emotional range, and it's also, there's just fun melodies. There's things that you want to get up and like move around to. And then there's some really deep feeling there. So there's a ton of range, and it's well worth your time.
And before we leave, as always, we like to thank Jim and Patrick for letting us sit in. Nick and I really enjoyed doing this. This is the third one we did.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Are we at a
three podcast run that qualifies, Mike? I don't know. I don't know if I'd put it up there.
Great run of podcasts. Thank you very much. Right. If you're interested, please feel free to reach out to Jim and Patrick through all the usual suspects, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or you can email at rock@suburbspod.com. And I know the party line, the Echo Jimmy party line is always a favorite. Please call that, or you can always attach a voice message to an email. But calling the poly party line is like where all the cool kids go. So on that note, we're going to close out with Sir Duke from Songs in the Key of Life. Thank you very much, Nick.
Thank you, Mike.
And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye.
Was really good.